The internationally recognized Prime Minister of Libya said this week that he is not prepared to sit down with a military general who's been mounting an offensive against his government for months. Libya has been riven by division since a revolution in 2011 that toppled and killed Muammar Gaddafi, who ruled the North African country for more than 40 years. Libya does have a United Nations-backed government, but General Khalifa Haftar is trying to take over with the backing of powerful countries like Egypt and the United Arab Emirates. Joining us now from Washington is Jonathan Weiner. He was the U.S. Special Envoy for Libya during the Obama administration, and he's now a scholar at the Middle East Institute. Welcome to Here and Now.
Happy to be with you.
Well, and as you look at Libya today in 2019, 8 years after Gaddafi fell, what do you see there?
I see a government made up of people who never did politics during the Gaddafi years, because Gaddafi was the engine that determined more or less everything that would happen in the country. And so they don't have a experience at the national level of working with one another to compromise to achieve outcomes.
And at the same time, we've got this general who has been for a couple of months now trying to take power from that government.
Well, General Haftar was among those who was with Gaddafi at the original coup back in 1969. Mm-hmm. And he was abandoned by Gaddafi when he got captured in Chad in a war against Chad. Chad initiated by Gaddafi. He then ultimately was rescued by the United States, lived in Northern Virginia for a number of decades, was briefly part of U.S. efforts to get rid of Gaddafi in the Reagan era. And he really would like to correct the arc of history and to replace all those decades of abandonment, humiliation, and irrelevance by becoming a military dictator of Libya. And he's been backed in an effort to make sure that it wasn't taken over by the Muslim Brotherhood, by Egypt, the mm-hmm. Emirates, Saudi Arabia, Jordan, and Russia.
Which do you think would be a better solution for Libya, if he takes over or if the UN-backed government somehow expands its power?
Well, every day when I was in my job, I'd ask myself, would Libya be better off if it had a military ruler, a single person to try and drive the country forward? And I look at the alternatives in terms of democratic government and weak institutions and infighting, and I'd shake my head and say, unfortunately, democracy, freedom to screw things up and not do things well is way better than a military ruler. It won't work. And Libyans are not willing to give up the freedom they earned when they threw off 42 years of Gaddafi by putting a new dictator in place. That's what I believed then. That's what I believe now.
So what do you think will happen now?
Well, since Haftar unilaterally initiated his attack on Tripoli, essentially his attack has stalled. Both sides have been getting weapons from outside of the country, and it looks like a long grind. Now, Haftar previously took the city of Benghazi, and he initiated that in 2014, and it then took him 3 years to take a city that is less than half the size of Tripoli, in which only a few neighborhoods fundamentally were controlled by Islamist terrorists and extremists. And it took him years, and he had help from France, he had help from the Emirates, he had help from Egypt, he had help from some others. So is he going to be able to take Tripoli? No, I don't think so. You have to remember that Libya is fundamentally a country whose revenues and wealth are all derived from oil. 1.2 million barrels of oil a day mm-hmm. is what it's currently pumping. And this is an effort to capture all of that wealth, which is currently largely denied him, largely because some of his people still get salaries from the government even as they're trying to take it down. Mm-hmm. So it's about the money in the end. And if you're from the West and you've got access to some resources now and some of the wealth, do you want to give that all up to a dictator who's going to dole out his own patronage networks without cutting you in? I don't think so. So leave ideology aside, leave tribalism, regionalism, and every other division of Libya aside. Unilateral rule by one person means that person gets to decide how to spend all the money. And if you're a Libyan in the West, certainly you really don't want that.
What do you think that the U.S. interest right now is in Libya? President Trump actually called this General Haftar back in April, which was interpreted as a sign of U.S. support. But do you see a coherent U.S. approach to Libya right now, or what should it be?
Well, prior to President Trump's call, the U.S. policy had remained fundamentally unchanged since the Obama administration. It's a policy that's driven in the first interest by needing partners to work with against terrorism. There are terrorists in Libya. There are terrorist training camps in Libya. And those terrorists have gone out from those camps to kill people in other countries, not just in Libya. They went into Algeria. They went into Tunis. The first goal is to fight terrorism. And the United States, during the Obama administration, worked very closely with the people in the government of National Accord, the UN-backed government, to get rid of territorial control of the central coastal region of Libya by the Islamic State, which was cutting people's heads off. And that continues to be a major, major goal. Now, is a Libyan civil war going to help the counterterrorism goals? No, it's not. It creates the potential for safe haven and for people raising their prestige by attacking either side and beginning to take advantage of the chaos. So it's a very bad situation for us when President Trump made his call, almost certainly at President el-Sisi's request from Egypt, and then publicized it almost certainly at the request of Mohammed bin Zayed, the Crown Prince of Abu Dhabi. It was an effort to signal, I believe, to the Libyans that go with Haftar and have Haftar have the stampede he wanted, which is how Gaddafi came in. Gaddafi didn't actually have to go and kill anybody. He took over a radio and TV station. And so Haftar was looking to create a stampede. It didn't work. They're not going to stampede to Haftar. So now the United States is pretty much back to the policy it began with, which is to try and get further political deals, which is what most people in the country would like to see. There's enough oil revenue there to take care of everybody in the country, educate them, give them health care, and provide a way forward for that country in the same way that the Gulf states have been able to find a way forward in which the material wants of their people are largely met.
President Obama, as you know, launched airstrikes to support the rebels who were trying to overthrow Gaddafi in 2011. But this is what he said in 2016 when he was asked by Chris Wallace on Fox News about the biggest mistake of his presidency.
Probably failing to plan for the day after what I think was the right thing to do in intervening in Libya.
Jonathan Weiner, you were the special envoy for Libya. What should the U.S. have done during the Obama administration to create something that would have been less chaotic? Or would that have been possible following the overthrow of Gaddafi?
It would have been very, very hard. The United States did have assistance programs focused on trying to rebuild Libyan security institutions after the collapse of Gaddafi's army, and those failed. The Turks, the Italians, the French, the British, the EU all had programs at various types of security institutions. They all failed. The French were supposed to train 30,000 police. They trained 30. The British training stopped when Libyans started engaging in criminal activity when they were being trained in the UK. Some of the people acted out and acted out in ways that shut down the program. The Turks failed. The EU failed at border security programs that they tried to put into place, headed up by a Scandinavian. As I look at it, following Gaddafi, Libya was primed to have a lot of trouble. Gaddafi had told the Libyan people for 40 years, I'm not the ruler. Every Libyan is the ruler. This is a people's republic. You all decide. I'm just someone carrying out your will.
Which was obviously not true.
It was not true. And they all knew it wasn't true, but it was still in their heads. And the Gaddafi in their heads has been an important element of why there's been failure since. They need some structure and some support in moving forward, which is why you've got a UN presence there. And with a lot of help, they can potentially get there. There are sophisticated, educated people, lots of them in Libya, and there are lots of people whose values are not very different from values of people in most of the rest of the world. What you have, unfortunately, is a group of politicians who are mostly not very good and who represent local interests and who want to grab as much of the pie as they can. And then you have a general who wants to grab the whole thing and establish dynastic rule and kill, exile, and imprison his enemies. And I know this because he and his sons told me this.
I want to ask you about one more thing because you've got experience in Iran as well, and we're obviously keeping a close eye on what's going on there. The U.S. sending 1,000 more troops to the Middle East amid these rising tensions with Iran and the likelihood in the next many days that Iran is going to breach the terms of the nuclear deal that the U.S. pulled out of. Do you think that there is going to be a military conflict between the U.S. and Iran?
Well, there are different types of conflict. You could have conflict at sea in which there continue to be attacks on shipping. The United States, of course, already has a wide range of sanctions in place and is putting immense pressure on Iran. That's a form of economic warfare. Iran never reformed in terms of its cessation of terrorist activity. I saw terrorist activity directly in Iraq during the Obama administration by Iranian agents, and there was no question in my mind that it was gross terrorism. And who was directing it? It was their Revolutionary Guards. So there are a whole set of problems there. Now, is it going to blow up, boil over, simmer, get resolved? There are a number of different scenarios. Right now, nobody really knows which one is going to play out. My guess is that there will be further incidents, but that it will probably not explode into a full-blown war because I think Iran doesn't want that. And I think the Trump administration doesn't want that.
That's Jonathan Weiner, who is the former U.S. Special Envoy for Libya, now a scholar at the Middle East Institute in Washington. Thank you so much for joining us.
Happy to be here. Thanks.